Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Tosh, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
If there was nervous energy yesterday, which some may deny on the panel, that they were feeling nervous energy, what is there today? No one's panicking around here, I don't think. But I think you're hoping they take care of business. Don't push this to a game five on Saturday. Edition. The big concert at Lambeau Field just announced this morning. Are you going?
Coos. I think the Coos was on it again. I saw
he was heard.
Some
he heard Birdie's. Birdie's chirping.
Coos knows what's up, man.
That's why he's the unofficial mayor of Green Bay. Luke Combs coming to Lambeau Field in May. Tickets go on sale.
That sounds right up your alley.
No, I really wish I would have gotten to see Coldplay at Camp Randall, and I would have taken Paula as opposed to a mistress. Edition. And the Joe Flacco. Did it take a second there? Did you get the reference there?
Did kind of forget
no,
that.
No, I got
thing.
The reference. Yeah. I don't think anyone in America would think that you wouldn't take anyone but Paula. I feel pretty confident about that. But you wouldn't go if your kids couldn't go.
Yeah, why so didn't you go to Cold? It's not go. Like you couldn't go to Coldplay. Why didn't you go?
There's no way. Jason would not have went. His kids couldn't go. He wasn't going to go.
Yeah,
like, there's no way, right?
I wanted to take them, too. I think they would have enjoyed it. Yeah. It was okay. Tickets were expensive.
And you're not going to go to Luke Combs. That's all. Right?
I do not see Luke Combs assessment? On my to-do list, no.
Yeah.
I did not see Joe Flacco being the quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals, but he is now. The quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals edition of Wilde and Tosh on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free ESPN Wisconsin app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay, where Luke Combs will be in May for that show at Lambeau Field. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios with his terrible towel getting ready for Packers-Steelers in a couple weeks. And from his undisclosed location, that took you a long time to unfold that, by the way. He is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, and I don't fully understand. You guys are giving me grief about being jacked up yesterday, and you're thinking I'm all nervous, and that couldn't have been further from the truth. I was fired up because it's another day, got an opportunity. We had the dead air in the beginning of the show, so I felt like you maybe weren't as engaged, so I needed to pick my game up, which is what the Brewers bullpen did for Quinn last night. So today, I'm going to just be Johnny Mello. I'm going to let you drive, and let Jesse chill. I'm going to be, I am going to be Johnny Cool Cucumber today. You're not going to get me all riled up. I am just going to sit back because I am not nervous. at
You're
all.
Not.
I was
Why not,
not nervous Why? Yesterday. No,
I feel I, like you should I, be. We don't even know who's pitching for them today.
Yeah, I'm not going to be nervous. I'm not.
You can't just say that. That's not how that works.
No, what happens a lot of times.
You.
I'm amazed you guys don't understand me yet. You guys just don't get me. You've been doing the show, Jason, 10 years plus 11 years of covering and with the Wisconsin time. You guys don't get me yet. And it's amazing to me.
Okay, tell me more.
When you tell me I can't do something or I'm doing something that I'm not doing, I am going to go overboard on top of overboard to prove you wrong.
I know
yesterday,
that.
I don't think you do.
No,
because otherwise
I do.
You wouldn't do what you do.
How do you describe
today,
what you did
anyways,
yesterday?
Anyways, as I told you yesterday, I came in, I'm fired up. It's 2-0. Went to the Brewer game the other night. I am all in on Brewers. I want the Brewers. I want a World Series more than I want, I want water and I want breath. I want this. I think our fan deserves it. And I see the Yankees last night getting knocked off and, oh, my God, the Yankees haven't won a championship in 16 years.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, who gives a blank? We haven't won one ever. And you're going to tell me, we should feel sorry for the poor New York Yankees?
No.
Get out of Dodge. So I'm fired up. You go dead air on me yesterday. So I pick it up because I thought you were in like a sour mood or you just weren't feeling it, which is fine.
I thought you were talking to Jesse.
Here's the deal. So I decided to do what the Brewers bullpen did for Quinn Priester. I just wanted us to have a show and to be enthusiastic and energetic. You Quinn Priestered yesterday, and I decided I was going to bullpen it. That's how it viewed.
I had a
so
little trouble in the first
Jesse,
inning. I picked it up just
Jesse,
fine the rest of the show.
It literally happened right in the beginning of the show. So you and Jesse now are giving me grief, and fine, go ahead and play this game, but I'm telling you, you're not going to win. Old T is going to win this game. So I'll say this. I don't know who's starting. I would think we want Peralta at home in Game 5 if necessary. I'm looking at this like an Ashby bullpen. Let's go back to the Game 2 formula and get this thing wrapped. That's what I think is going to happen. Hopefully at some point during the show, Pat Murphy announces it. But yesterday was a young pitcher who we hadn't seen lose. I think, didn't Quinn Priester lose his last start?
He did. Last start of the regular season, he did lose, yes.
Okay, because everybody was saying yesterday, and I didn't want to correct you on air, so I'll correct you today. I thought you said that he hadn't lost a start in since May. He was awesome this season, right? He was awesome. The moment gets big, and Pat Murphy after the game said, hey.
Yeah, he looked nervous.
The moment was too big for Quinn. Yeah, so when you have all that, again, to put in old boy Quintana after, and then to have the bullpen do its job, and we had plenty of cracks to get this thing back. Plenty of opportunities.
Yeah, bases loaded.
Baseball's tough. This is what playoff baseball is. What we've seen in the past, you know, I don't remember who on the broadcast. By the way, I didn't think the broadcast was as homerish as you guys did.
I didn't think either.
I never said the TV broadcast was homerish.
Oh, Josh DiMaggio did in our group. And Jesse said it was like a 4 on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah, which means they're excited when the Cubs do something good. They were excited when Bauer's hit the homer. I think they've had a good call this
and they
year
were talking,
so far.
And they were talking all about when old boy legged out that would-be double play, saying how fast he is. And I thought the broadcast was fine.
Agreed. I think they're doing a great job.
All in all, I don't think we should be nervous yet. I don't. Now, if it gets to Game 5, we should be nervous. But I don't think we should be as we sit here today.
So, the Mariners and Tigers, are they 2-2?
They are. Game 5 tomorrow night.
The Yankees are donezo, which is a real shame. You hate to see that.
It's too bad.
The Phillies stayed alive. Can someone explain to me, by the way, why game four?
Crazy...
Oh, boy.
Oh, go ahead. Is later?
Why they're playing
in Los Angeles? Yeah. Why isn't that the late game?
They're playing in L.A. at 3 o'clock Pacific,
here's my
and then we got to play at 8. Yeah.
My theory is Philadelphia, and this always trips me up. I love playing those Sporkle games. I don't know if you ever play Sporkle on your iPhone or computer.
You brought up Sporkle like the first year we were doing this show.
I love Sporkle. It's a great mind bender. But Philadelphia is a monster market. Fourth biggest market, I believe, in the U.S. Philly, they don't want those Philly fans first starting the game at 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock their time. They're catering to the Philadelphians,
okay,
not to the Los Angelians.
Well, they had the Yankees in the late window.
When?
A couple of games.
The Yankee game was done at 9:30.
No, two nights ago. When they won, that game started at like 8.
It was 8 Eastern they started that. It just went long.
It's 7 Central. That's nothing.
Yeah.
Well, the game ended like after midnight
Central
there.
Time tonight. Yeah, it's, man, welcome to the Midwest.
They're used to it out
east. They fly over you and they, you know, whatever. It is what it is.
What's your great idea? Now you forgot it.
No, it's not mine. I want to give my boy Crancy. He just sent me this, and this is super interesting.
Who the hell is Crancy? We're 10
you know
years
Crancy.
Into the show.
He is a great
Never
Wisconsin
heard of him.
Athletic supporter. Crancy. I got a long history with Crancy. He was mad at me because I drank some of his good vodka way back in the day. And he's got a really nice place up on Lake Wisconsin. Hey, Crancy's.
He's doing well for
anyways.
Himself.
This feels like when you're watching a sitcom and they introduce a new character like 10 years in.
Oh, it's Crancy.
This is one of the main characters' brothers.
Just
that
so
we
you
know, about the whole
he
time.
Never texts me. He never texts me about the show ever. This is the first time, so he has felt obligated
Crancy.
To text.
Well, welcome, Crancy.
Good to have you.
And you think this is kind of crazy talk, but the more I'm looking at this,
oh boy,
I kind of like where we're at. So tonight very well could be a bullpen. Yeah, we could see Peralta. We could see bullpen, right? That's what this is going to come down to because we obviously used Quintana last night. That would have been the other option.
Yeah.
This is what we're doing. So correct me if I'm wrong, but the Cubs only scored in the first inning last night, correct?
Have they scored in any inning other than the first inning all series?
It's been minimal. It's been very minimal.
They got a couple after they were down 9-1 on Saturday.
Yeah.
They got a few. But, yes, okay. They have only scored in the first inning each of the last two games.
All right. So who is our closer? Is it McGill, right? Or Uribe?
No, it's Uribe.
It's been Uribe since McGill got hurt. And McGill came back, and he was the setup guy on Monday night.
So this is a crazy thought by Crancy, but I'm on board with it.
Crancy.
Start Uribe. Why not go to our closer? We have struggled for three games against the Cubs. They score. They have put pressure on. What if we start Uribe or McGill and we start as a
or
closer
Raleigh
and
fingers.
We go Oppo the rest of the way? What do we think?
And we're going to close the game with Ashby?
I think he's got Freddie coming in the
sixth.
Give
Ashby a little more time. He pitched a bunch of pitches the other night. What do we think of that idea?
I would like to thank Crancy for his out-of-the-box thinking and his contributions to the show as he joins Strummy and Schleppy and the Big O. Who else am I missing that we need to have in the mix here that come up with great ideas? Who's the Tom Hanks guy?
Hatch. Yeah, Hatch has mailed it in. Since COVID,
he's big time now.
Yeah, I've been real happy with Hatch's performance lately.
Wisey.
Yeah.
Look, it's an interesting thought, and I am not pandering. Because, you send your closer out there, he strikes out the first three batters, and you're not playing from behind. I don't think that that's a realistic strategy, though.
Why?
Well, because games are frequently won or lost at the end, and guys are closing.
Yesterday's game wasn't.
Well, I would argue that it was because they had the bases loaded in the eighth, and their hottest hitter at the plate. And look, baseball's hard. I'm not killing Was it Durbin that was up? No.
Durbin made Bowers. The final out. Bowers was up.
The series is over if Bowers, who is hot, gets a hit there. And it's decided late. So I would like my best pitchers when the game's on the line late.
But the game ended up being over when they scored four in the first. That's what ended up being the difference.
Right, except for the fact that the Cubs had to shut down comebacks late in the game or they would have
lost. I'm
not
asking the Cubs to start their closer. I'm asking us to. You understand that, right? And by the way, Jace,
this is not nervous energy.
You're not starting both closers. We would now say we have two closers. Would we not?
Is this not like are we sure that that's
true? So we have two closers.
We have two guys who are capable of closing games that we would feel good about.
We have two starting quarterbacks. And have went through the because closing is a mentality, too.
Sure it is.
And you have to have some experience with it. I say we start McGill tonight. Let's keep your rebase so that he can close up the shop late. Let's start McGill
there
tonight.
There we go. Appreciate you coming around. See, we workshop this.
I don't hate it.
I'm on board with
but
that.
But if we start your rebate, I'm all right, too. Because we've seen what the Cubs have done. They are fast starting fools down there on the north
south side.
Right? Fast starting fools.
Gonna get colder as the night goes on. Ball won't travel as far. Let's snuff them out early. A little snuffing. It's too bad we don't have a pitcher named McMuffin. Snuff them with McMuffin. We could go, put a t-shirt up or something.
How about go for the kill with McGill?
It's not bad. Not bad at all.
Did you really just say...
With that said, I think it's going to be Ashby tonight again, don't you? Isn't that kind of the vibe you're getting?
Gasser, I think, might be the option.
Gas?
Yeah, okay. The gas man.
According to Baseball Reference, in the 150 years of baseball, or however long baseball's been around, there has never been a pitcher or a player of any kind whose last name was McMuffin. So, just an FYI, probably unlikely to be snuffing with McMuffin. You can snuff out high energy bills, though, with Gina Della and Pella, which also rhyme, Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, I know this. Murph trusts his bullpen. He trusts his team, and we trust his gut. And when it comes to your home, the smart play is to trust Gina Della and her great team at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. And this month only, you can score a whole house of new energy-efficient Pella windows for as low as $297 a month with 0% interest for up to 60 months. That's like a drive you can sustain for years, keeping your home comfortable thanks to the incredible defense played by Pella Windows, stopping all of those drafts. Don't wait. Schedule your free consultation today at PellaWI.com.
More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
You said very clearly that we were wrong. You didn't have nervous energy yesterday. Quinn Priester clearly had nervous energy. And by the way, you have to respect the guy that comes out after the game. I mean, I know it was obvious, but the line where he said everybody played their best ball except me, that was hard to hear. I mean, he felt like trash and is a guy that was in the stands watching this team win the 2016 World Series, and now he's pitching. And you could tell, like you said, from his facial expression, like he was nervous, and he pitched like it. What's the most nervous you've ever been in the world of competing?
I would think from probably the first time I played at Lambeau, like I started. We played the Philadelphia Eagles. and it was more the lead up to. I always say the nervousness of competing, it's not once you're out there. It's the lead up and the, you know, you get done with the warm ups and then you have that, I don't know, 20-minute window where you go back in and you just have your thoughts until coach gets up and you have your huddle and then you sprint out and then you do the, you know, you do the warm, you know, the announcing, the announcement, and you go out and on the field and you're standing there, and until you get out there and play, you know, the first time you go and do that, you can get overwhelmed a little bit. So I think from my end, after that one, it gets easier and easier. And I think experience, a lot of times people look at experience and they'll say, well, that will be the trump card. Well, no, talent and what you can do physically and then how you can control your emotions in big moments, that's really what separates it. So for me, that game, I was fortunate, actually, that my first real game, I didn't know I was going to play. You just get thrown out.
Right.
Earl's back locks up. Tausch, you're up. Let's go. And you just go out there. And you go play. And then that probably even helped ease that even more.
Jesse, you have the audio from Pat Murphy and from Quinn Priester. I wanted to play that for folks who didn't hear it. First, here is Pat Murphy talking about the fact that the moment did appear to get to Quinn Priester.
I think the moment got to him a little bit. I think this is, again, he's not technically a rookie, but it's his first postseason appearance and had a long layoff. It's at his hometown. Yeah, I feel for him because that's not typically how he's done this year. And it gave them a jump start and was the difference in the game.
And then here's what Priester said afterward, which was the quote that made me feel a little sad for him, frankly.
Very frustrated. Very frustrated with that first inning, the only inning. Command wasn't good. Stuff wasn't coming out the way, you know, I'd wanted it to. And ultimately, it falls onto me to make an adjustment. You know, it's going to be different every day. You're going to have different circumstances to have to work with and battle through, and it's up to, you know, pitcher making an adjustment to get us, you know, get, at least give us a chance, get the ball in play. And didn't do that today, didn't give us a chance, and you know, everyone else played real well with the exception of myself, so definitely feel like that's, you know, entirely on me.
If you're Quinn Priester's teammate, you're obviously disappointed that you lost the game. What are you doing as his teammates? Because that has got to be a crummy feeling to have. Everybody did their job except me.
Well, and that's not true. I mean, there were plenty of other opportunities to overcome. It wasn't like he gave up 81 runs and it was insurmountable. Yeah, obviously he was disappointed with his performance, but good teammates would never let Quinn Priester, if somebody asks another teammate about it, say, well, yeah, I also had an opportunity in the seventh inning to get a hit and maybe start a rally. Or, you know, who struck out in the eighth inning? Was it Bowers?
Bowers, yeah.
Bowers could say, yeah, I hit a home run, but also I had an opportunity to make a big hit, and all of a sudden nobody's talking about Quinn Priester.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all of these moments that you can look at in baseball, and, yeah, Quinn can be disappointed, and Pat Murphy can be disappointed about that. Maybe Pat Murphy could say, well, you know, maybe I should have started Quintana, and Priester could have come in. Maybe it would have been. There's all different avenues that you could look at. Obviously, Quinn, because of how it played out, he feels that way. And as a teammate, you want your teammate to feel bad about that. But you also want to make sure he knows he's supported.
Right.
And that he can, hey, we're going to get this. This is just going to be a blip or a small part of a book on what we're going to end up doing. And that's what makes good clubhouses and good teams, is you lift up the guys when they are maybe down in the dumps a little bit.
Quinn, don't worry. We're starting McGill tonight. We're going to be fine. It's going to be everything we need. Bringing in the closer to start the game. Ian and East Troy, if McGill starts this game tonight, this will be right behind Tausch's kissing cousins tie prediction.
Well, so if Uribe or McGill starts, I think there should be some props.
So McGill
and I appreciate it, Ian. It's not me. That's Krantzy.
Krantzy,
baby.
Yeah.
Taking, Fancy.
I wish I had thought of it, and I could take full credit. I am obviously dispersing.
You're just a vessel.
The information from the Krantzinator, but this is no doubt this would be something fun.
Trevor McGill has opened twice for the Milwaukee Brewers. Both times were in 2023 in September. Against the Marlins and the Cardinals within the span of a few days when they were down the stretch in 2023. So it has happened before. He has never done it in the playoffs, and it was only those two times in September 2 years ago.
So he's never been a starter except for those two times.
That is
correct. I don't want Miz pitching.
Oh,
if Miz
no.
is going to do it again, I want him at AmFam Field on, you know, either in Game 5 or in the NLCS. I don't want to put Miz in that sphere tonight. Does that make sense? Like, I don't want Miz throwing tonight. You pretty much throw anybody else you want. I don't know. Do you guys want Peralta to start?
Well, I was about to ask you that. Why don't you want Freddie?
Well, he's on short rest, right? He's not on normal rest.
No, it'd be 4 days off, which usually they get five with
and
a built-in off day somewhere. Yeah, so it'd be slightly short rest, but he's it's good playoff rest.
Jesse Baseball, you know, I gave you grief for not knowing enough earlier this week because you are a baseball guy.
Don't ask me about the Blue Jays. I got nothing on the Jays if that's where this is going.
Also. For not answering right away, we had dead air open.
What is Freddie's split between road and home? Like, how much better? What do you mean? He's our starter. He's our ace. Is he better at home or is he better on the road? Like, you act like I'm asking you to split an atom. Like,
give me a second and I will find the exact information on Baseball Reference.
I got it.
So, Hunter, who does a great job filling in for Jesse on his many days off, said the last time that Freddie pitched on 4 days against the Cubs, they rocked him. He gave up four or five runs.
Playoffs are different.
I don't know if that goes in. So all of these analytical nerds are going to be in Pat Murphy's ear, right? Telling him all this. Pat's going to go with his gut. He's like 565
analytics. Like 565
analytics. There you go. Thanks, Jason. But this will be part of that information you dump in the machine, and it spits out, well, maybe it'd be better to sit Freddie, let him throw at home in a potential game five, or obviously to start the NLCS, which, you know, even if he pitched tonight, I would think there'd be a good chance he could do that.
All right. Well, do we actually think that he might pitch tonight?
Sure. He might. I would think he'd lean towards not pitching him tonight, but.
So do we, at Pablo's birthday party.
I got some numbers for you when you want them, by the way.
All right. We'd love to have your numbers.
Home and away this year, Freddie Peralta at home is 9-1 with an ERA of 1.77. On the road.
That's strong. That's strong.
Very good.
Yeah.
On the road, 8-5 with a 3.71 ERA. So wins, losses are not everything, but the ERA would show you.
No, I'm not worried about the wins, losses.
He's 2 runs better
at home.
What's
his whip?
1.0004 at home, 1.153 on the road.
What is McGill's numbers versus?
All right.
I was at Wrigley.
Google
it. What's his home run? So here's the deal. Jesse just brought all that up, and you know that both sides know all of these numbers. This is what the analytical folks do. The numbers would tell you, wait on Freddie. He's better at home. That's what I would bet Pat Murphy ends up doing. But Pat Murphy is he isn't standard blah. He is going to do what he thinks his team needs. And if you don't want to get into that spot, which nobody does on that Saturday, you don't want that game. You're positioned to not have to play it. The Cubs are. That would be the only thing that if you're thinking about it, you say, he is our best. We have options if it doesn't go, but I don't want to say what if. Freddie, go get it done.
So if I may, and I don't want to sound like I'm at Pablo's birthday party when I ask this, but with the way things went with Ashby in Game 2 and the way things went with Priester in Game 3, and if they were to choose to save Freddie for a potential Game 5 and they start Gasser or McGill or whoever they start tonight, is Jesse going to be able to say, do we need to have a conversation? Do we need to think about having a conversation about how they handled their pitching plan in this playoff series? Because if for some reason it were to not go well tonight with whomever they start that's not named Freddie Peralta, and that forces a game five, and then some fluky thing happens like it did with the Mets, right? We thought they were advancing last year in game five, did we not? Then the home runs, and suddenly, oh my God, their season's over.
I think it was game three.
Yeah. Yes, thank
deciding
you.
Deciding game.
Yeah.
I'm just asking if we need to have that conversation. I'm not saying we're firing him like Jesse was trying to do in May, but it's possible, and maybe he just has crappy options, right? Because you don't have the Miz is not the Miz of midseason. You don't have Brandon Woodruff. I don't know. I'm purely asking a question.
The whole point was of starting Ashby was to mess with the Cubs starting part of their lineup. They ended up putting Turner in because they're so left-hand dominant, and they want. I think he wanted to kind of dictate what Craig Counsell was going to do with his lineup, and that would make me think he's not going to sway from that. But then you saw what happened. And how much of that goes into your mind when you're deciding, well, maybe we shouldn't do that because it didn't work. Vaughn, Churio, Contreras bailed out Pat Murphy and Ashby the other night.
Yeah.
That was a bailout. Yep. And it was an awesome bailout. Then you start thinking, was that a fluke? Or do we go back to that? And that's why these managers, that's why it's fun. That's why it's tricky. And that's why these decisions, you end up, you think long and hard on them and you don't give anything because you don't want to give the Cubs any. I don't want you to go and do it strictly to mess with the Cubs. This needs to be, this is our best opportunity to win tonight because that's what we do. And I thought on Tuesday or Monday, whatever night that was now, you did it. It worked, but what you kind of, how you drew it up, it didn't work. Your team bailed that out. And right. I don't know how many times, at some point, people aren't going to go bail you out. You're going to end up in jail. And nobody wants that.
We'll shift gears to the Packers, which is why a lot of you come here.
So
to
if
this
Freddie pitches, if Freddie pitches tonight, he won't be ready for the start of the NLCS anyways, right? My buddy Sean just texted me. We got a lot. I got some guys that I have not heard from in a while are all in on this Brewers.
Sean.
I'm just going to tell you right now. He said he says if Peralta pitches tonight, he would not pitch Monday game one as it would only be 3 days rest. And by the way, I'm listening to your radio show now. Yeah, no,
thanks,
Sean. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Wouldn't it be more amazing if he just randomly had that thought and texted you?
It would be awesome.
So the speculation would be, yes, if Freddie pitches tonight, he would not be ready for game one. He could be ready for game two on same amount of days rest Tuesday night. So then you could have him game two and then game probably six or seven, depending on what would happen in the NLCS.
So if you save him, you're not getting him at home in either of the NLCS.
Right. If you save him, you don't get it.
If he pitches Saturday, he's out for.
Then he's
the
game
deal.
Three against the Dodgers.
Yeah, but you got to get there, man. Like, you got to win the series.
That's what makes it fun. Yeah. needed a night to think about it.
I'm sorry. I would just like to state my position. I'm pitching my best guy tonight. That's what I'm doing. I don't care home, road. I'm pitching him tonight. I want to win this. That's just my opinion, man.
Top dog, play to win. I love it.
And I love Steinhoffels as well, and they are celebrating 91 years of bringing style, comfort, and quality to families' homes. As a 100% employee-owned company, you'll always get honest service, never high-pressure sales. That's actually true. When we finally got our couch after all those years, they were great. Paula does not like overly aggressive salespeople. You don't get that at Steinhoffels.
Can you imagine? That salesperson, 10 years it took you to get that couch.
Well, they
didn't
know.
That's a lot of work.
It wasn't the same
one. That's a lot of time that that salesperson put in.
And if you need better sleep, try Steinhoffel's Discover Your Sleep system. Want to refresh a room? Their decorating solutions team makes it simple. From the latest furniture trends to trusted quality, Steinhoffel's has everything you need. Celebrate 91 years. Shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. We'll shift gears to the Packers next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
Shifting gears to the green and gold, the G&G, as Tausch likes to say. The topic of the day, by far, at Lambeau Field yesterday. Oh my God, you're playing Joe Flacco again. Now, it's not like they're playing, it's like Tom Brady changed teams. But Tausch, I did find myself wondering...
If I'm Bengals, I think I would have called Tom Brady.
Maybe they did.
Okay.
I would have called Bill Belichick, see if he's going to leave UNC because it's going so well over there. I am curious, though, because Joe Flacco, you know, all the years of jokes about debating whether he's elite or not, and boy, he sure was elite when they won the Super Bowl in the 2012 season. But... he does have Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins at his disposal now. He doesn't have a great offensive line in front of him, but he does have the opportunity to get the ball to two. I mean, are they the best tandem in the league? Better than Addison and Jay Jettis? They have to be, right?
Yes. Correct.
So when you – and look, Evan Williams was completely transparent. They were looking forward to playing Jake Browning.
Yes.
Because the guy has thrown 8 interceptions in 3.5 games since Joe Burrow got hurt. And now Joe Flacco. If you're a player in that locker room, obviously as an offensive lineman, it doesn't impact you directly. But like everyone was talking about it. I can't believe this. This is crazy. Doesn't happen. Does it throw a monkey wrench into your week in any way that something this out of the ordinary has occurred?
Yeah. It definitely changes things. And I had said on Monday that this was going to be a throttling. And I still think Green Bay is going to win this game. And I know we'll do headlines and stuff tomorrow. But I am not – this changes, especially from a defensive standpoint. I don't know if Browning was a super elusive dude. I know this – he moves better than Joe Flacco, and he is going to get out of the pocket and do that. But Joe Flacco, he can still spin it. And offensive line-wise, as Cincinnati, as you said, they struggle to protect the quarterback. But their wideouts are dynamic on dynamic. And they will try and do everything they can to find ways to get them the football. And their opportunity – they're not going to turn the football over as much as they did with Browning, and that's why they made this change.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to give – those wideouts are obviously disappointed. I'm sure they were in Zach Taylor's ear about, you know, I'm getting open, he's not throwing the ball in the right spots, and he's turning the ball over. It ain't going to be Joe Flacco. And Flacco is old, and he's smart. And he understands. He just played these cats 2 weeks ago. He knows Micah Parsons is going to be coming down the pipe.
Mm-hmm.
Rashawn Gary is going to be in my face. Lucas Van Ness, hopefully, is going to be around me. I need to get rid of the ball, so we need to kind of put our plans in place to get the ball out, have some double moves in there, because we've seen Green Bay, they cheat on some of those shorter routes. I'm sure they've seen that as well. And give those guys a chance to be dynamic and make some plays. Consistently, I think they will still struggle. But I do think you have to be very worried. If I'm Jeff Hafley, I am going to say I'm not giving up any big plays. I want to see Joey Flacco on 4 days in the building maneuver long drives with this group, because I don't think they're going to be able to do that. That would be what I would think would be the big change in comparison if they're playing Browning.
How will this impact your prize pick decisions as you move forward with those this weekend?
Well, I am going to go, I think tonight the Eagles are playing the Giants. I'm going to go more with their wideouts. They had that players-only meeting. The Giants can't cover anybody. I think they're going to have a big night. I think Jalen Hurts will have a big night. We'll get to our Packers-Bengals tomorrow, but I'll tell you what, it's just more fun. Prize Picks is the best way to win cash while watching your favorite teams. Which players are going to go off? Which ones are overhyped? You get to use your sports opinions, and you can turn it into real cash. And you can stack. You want to stack, you can use the same player up to three times in the same lineup. You want to pick more on Giannis now that Hoops is getting started. McGregor, if you want to get into a little hockey, or McDavid, you want to get into a little hockey. Not Mario Lemieux. Sid the kid. You got the kid, the young kid down
he's
in Chicago.
He's like the
Bedarcy.
Oldest player in the league. You can't call him Sid the kid anymore.
I can. You got Bedarcy. You got hockey. You got playoff
Bedarcy.
Baseball. You got everything at your disposal. Prize Picks, they also put their users first. Withdrawals are fast and safe and secure. Prize Pick offers Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more. Join millions of users. Sign up for America's number one daily fantasy sports app. Use the code WI, and you get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that is code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play that first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good.
It's a stumble through the read, but be right. We've all had those moments.
Oh, really? You're going to do that?
Huh?
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait until you're talking about Stratford's and Avondale. Oh, I am good. Because you have butchered that, and I have stayed back and not said a thing. But okay.
Means a lot coming from you,
you
Edenberg.
Wow. Sometimes I wonder, Jason passes this off as being all jokey and funny. That was a little.
No,
that was
it was definitely not.
That
no.
came from a mean spirit.
Little jerkweed
place.
There.
It
yeah.
didn't. It was jerkweed.
It really
it was not
mean
spirited, though. No. If I had gotten to finish the thought,
I think
I was,
it's. I don't think you get to tell me if that was mean spirited or not, though.
In fairness,
does he, Jesse?
Conor McGregor does not play hockey. In fairness to Jason.
Well, he is an MMA. And that's not available on Prize Picks too. Maybe I went McVay. Maybe I went. You got it all. All the mix. You got mix.
McMuffin,
McGill.
Right, I was totally
McGill.
Wrong.
McGill. Give them it all. A mix special on Prize Picks tonight.
Well, you can stack it. You can stack
Instead
them
Instead of the little goblin guy, there'll be like a four-leaf clover. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
On your trip to Avondale.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
come out of their bye week and they have 14 players on their injury report. Now, only two did not practice at all. Anthony Belton with an ankle injury and Devontae Wyatt with his knee injury. Neither of those players are expected to play on Sunday against the Bengals. Of the other 12, for me, it's all about Zach Tom and Aaron Banks. And I'm not convinced that they're both going to play. They were limited. They were limited yesterday.
Or are you opinion?
No, that's an opinion. Okay. I'm going to talk to, hopefully, Zach Tom today. I talked to him on Monday, and I shared what he said about how he felt really good, but he was blocking air, which is easy to block. A little harder to block Trey Hendrickson. So I don't know if he'll be cleared or if he will choose to play. Aaron Banks said something kind of weird in terms of his choice of phrase when he said, I'm trying to make the most of the snaps that I'm getting in practice, which I don't know. No one followed up. The conversation turned.
Well,
that sounded to me like one of those things that you say when you're I don't jump the answer. A lot of people like almost borderline interrupt the guy when he's still answering the previous question. I don't like to do that. I like to let his answer breathe. And if you do
You couldn't tell with this 3-hour show that that's the case, but okay.
Are you kidding? Some people say that they listen to it on double time. So it goes really fast because I don't talk fast enough when I'm actually talking on the show.
So you think Banksy is getting platooned with
I didn't think of it that way. I thought more of they're working him back in. They don't think he's necessarily ready for this game. And so he's maybe even getting scout team reps to get some work in while they're getting enough reps for Jordan Morgan. Because, look, would you agree that when Jordan Morgan gets enough practice time at a position, he's played okay? Is that fair?
Yeah, I'm not down on the way, I'm not down on Jordan Morgan like some folks are. He's a young player. He didn't get to play much last year. He's a good – he moves well. He has got what you're looking for in an O-lineman. That's why you draft him in the first round. So when I just heard that makes me think I guess I hadn't thought of the practice squad or the scout squad reps.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me think that it could be like a let's give you some time to get back. We'll platoon and
maybe
let you and Jordan Morgan, and we'll figure it out. If Banksy goes out there, he's feeling good, and they're moving the ball and they're scoring. Maybe Banksy comes out and he's like, "I feel good." They'll keep riding it, but during practice, you can't just say, "Oh, Banksy, you're feeling good," and then he goes. He hasn't finished a game yet.
Correct.
So you're going to leave yourself. You can't leave yourself. What is it? You can poop in one hand and whatever in the other hand. You better
hope
make
in
sure
one
you
hand,
got.
You know what? In the other
you want to make sure Jordan Morgan's available and ready and prepared, in case that is. So I'm sure that is a cryptic quote. And when you just said that, my kind of little antennas went up and was like, that is interesting because normally you just say, "Yeah, I'm working to get back. I'm getting reps," and
exactly.
And you make it like that, it makes you think. Something's coming that's going to be a little negative, and I want to get out in front of it, and I'm going to say it in a cryptic way, and none of these reporters are going to follow up and get any more info, so we'll just have to play it by ear. That's what it heard. That's what I heard.
Never have I faced more pressure for a read
is he immunized?
Than I am right now. And I'm not even going to ad lib. And we're going to see if I can get through it without a single mistake.
Go get him,
like
old
Connor
T.
McDavid.
Go get him.
And
no,
Connor McGregor
not ideal. I don't want
would
to
love
true.
For me to do that.
I want to be a supportive teammate.
You are. You're a supportive teammate. Maybe you'd like to support me by joining me on July 5th on a journey through the lovely landscapes of England, Scotland, and Wales with Colette. We'll take in the charm of the countryside and the history of the great cities. imagine standing before Big Ben in London, then later gazing out from the Edinburgh Castle. So rich in history, it feels like stepping back in time. Along the way, we'll explore the storybook villages of Chester and Shakespeare's Stratford-upon-Avon, places where every street seems to whisper a piece of history. And how about a scenic train ride through the rolling green hills that lead us right into the medieval city of York? It's all part of this incredible journey. From iconic landmarks to cozy villages, from bustling city streets to peaceful countryside views, you'll experience the very best of Britain's history, culture, and beauty, and create memories that last a lifetime. To learn more about this amazing adventure, text TRAVEL, the word TRAVEL, to 844-770-3776. That's 844-770-3776. Or just visit ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com for full details.
That's crushed.
That's clutch.
You're perfect.
Edinburgh.
The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.